So may our eyes be sent and bent back towards who God is and what he's up to right now. May we not lose hope or heart and understand the fact that God is still on the throne. He is still who he said he is, and he's continuing to move and work and have his way. And may we be instruments of his for his glory and others' good, even in the midst of everything that's happening right now. May we not lose heart, but our hope, put our hope in the right place. May we see Jesus for who he is. And may we understand that that hope is something that propels us forward on mission, that we don't back down. We continue to take ground for the gospel, and we bring the hope of Jesus in the midst of sorrow and trouble. That's the call that we have. As your preacher, as your minister, it's my duty to remind us of the fact to keep our eyes on Jesus and to not lose heart. Matter of fact, when Jesus was sending out his 72 people to go out before him, he even told them that life is not going to be easy in the midst of what I'm sending you into. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, we read this last week as one of our texts from the message. And I want to reread that, but also the rest of that passage where Jesus is sending his people out in the midst of a broken world where people are not going to like them for the message that they're bringing. But other people do like the message of the gospel. It says in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are what? Few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. In other words, God is saying, I'm enough for you. And you still have to go on your mission. You have to trust that I am enough, and I'm going to provide every need that you have in the midst of this journey of bringing the hope of the gospel to the midst of a dark world that's struggling with finding hope at this time. You have a mission. Last week, the main point was this. You are laboring for something eternal, and you're not laboring what? Alone. You're not laboring alone. The scriptures we looked at last week reminded us of the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells within us and it's propelling us and moving us forward in life to bring the hope of the gospel to those that need to hear it. And so as Jesus was sending them out, he's sending them out two by what? Two. He's saying, go into the mission. And by the way, it's going to be a stinking mission. It's not going to be fun. It's going to be hard. But do you believe? Do you trust? I love what he says. I'm not going to have her throw this back up. I'm going to reread it to you. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are what? Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. As a matter of fact, I would probably argue that most of us want to stop reading right there. Yeah, Lord, I'll pray. I'll pray hard. I'll pray, God, that you send people to love these people because I can't do it. I'll pray for whatever it is you're calling me to pray for, Lord. I'll gladly get on my knees and trust you, but I love what happens in the midst of this little transaction here is these guys have been basically told, listen, your life's going to stink sometimes, but I'm still calling you to be on mission. People are going to reject you sometimes. I'm still calling you to be on mission. Some people will hear the gospel and accept it and have their lives changed. I'm calling you to be on mission. There's so much work to do, but there's so few laborers. Pray that people will rise up. And the temptation is to say, yes, Lord, I will pray. But what is the immediate phrase that happens right after he says to pray for the laborers to enter the harvest field? Go your way. Go your way. And that's powerful because there's this temptation to be like, yes, Lord, I pray, I trust. I trust that you're going to do this. I trust that you're going to move. I trust that things are going to happen. Lord, I will fervently pray. And in the midst of our prayer, God goes, go. Go. Stop praying and go. Like move also at the same time. Pray and go. Pray and go. And that's what Jesus tells them in this moment. Listen, pray that the Lord will send people, but go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. I think right now we need to be reminded of the fact that, yes, we do need to be praying and interceding for our nation, for our community, for everything that's happening right now. I have a news flash for you. The Lord's will is still going to be done, and it may not be your will. The Lord's will is still going to be done, but it may not be your will. And we pray and we intercede and we ask God and we plead that he would do something. And here's a newsflash. Maybe God's actually trying to shift us to see him more clearly, to lean on him more, to rely upon the fact that he is still the rock that he said he is, to trust the fact that he is still the Redeemer, the God who saves and changes things. He's the reconciler that brings brokenness back together. Like, is it possible that in the midst of everybody's dashes or things that are happening in your life, that maybe God is saying, I want you to shift. I want you to see what's about to happen. Pray to me by all means. Communicate with God. Like, that's what he tells us to do. But then he says, go. Go. And this is super convicting to me. Because in the midst of everything that's going on, there's this temptation to become downcast and bummed and just discontent and just whatever at times. And I pray to God and ask him, Lord, what is it you want to do? In the end, he does want us to talk to him, but then he also says, listen, as you pray, I need you to go. I need you to have an impact in this world. Don't shrink back, but press forward. So point number two, even though there aren't enough people doing the work, I'm still called to go do the work of the Lord. Even though there aren't enough people to do the work, I'm still called to go do the will, to do the work of the Lord. Listen, our world still needs believers in Jesus that bring hope in the midst of darkness. I'd probably argue even more. It still needs believers who listen to narratives and stories of what's going on in people's lives and try to understand how they're processing and thinking and how they're feeling so that we can bring the gospel, the good news to that transition, that transaction that's happening in that moment, that we bring Jesus in the midst of it. And there's this temptation to go, you know what, there aren't enough people doing it. I don't want to get in the midst of it. And God's going, listen, I need you to go. I need you to love your neighbor. I'm not going to preach Jordan's sermon. That's next week. But that's what God is telling us to do. Listen, church, don't lose heart. Jesus is still who he said he was. And may we lean on him more now than ever. May we trust the fact that he is a faithful God and he's fully present. Now, there's a very interesting thing because I think right now in our culture, there's this temptation to like fight fire with fire. There's this temptation to become the enemy and to just jump back and be mean and vicious and whatever to prove a point. It goes on and says this, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. First say, peace be to this house. Church, I'm getting ahead of myself, but our posture should be that of first offering peace. That should be our posture. As Jesus is sending his people out in the midst of this, he's saying, listen, as you're entering into the world and lives of other people, first come in with a posture of peace, like bringing the gospel of peace in the midst of their life. Don't be a jerk. Love people. Love people. He goes on and say, whatever house you enter first, say this, peace be to this house. If a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon them. If they accept that message of peace, your peace will rest upon them. But if not, it will return to you. I think that's what we're afraid of. We're like, I don't want to waste time loving people. They're just going to ditch me or do whatever anyhow. Listen, this is what Jesus is saying. It's okay. Because that peace is going to come back to you and you go on. You go on to the next people. You go on to the next place. You go on to the next thing. Don't get caught up with rejection or sorrow or struggles because that peace comes back to you. The peace of what Jesus has instilled in you is still present with you. He says, and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house, mission to mission, this to that. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And church, our posture right now has got to be the peace of God. That should be the first posture. The hope of the gospel. The hope of God in the midst of darkness. The fact that maybe God's trying to shift things so that we see him more clearly and lean on him and hold on to him more than ever before. That's the posture that we are to have peace. So as you enter in the lives of other people right now, don't be the cynic that immediately says they're never going to get it before you even talk with them. Don't be the cynic that looks at everything and says, no good can come of this. What would happen if Jesus would have had that thought before he came from heaven to earth? What would happen if that person that brought you to the hope of the gospel of Jesus said to themselves, there's no way that they're ever going to accept this? That's personal at that point. What if the person that brought the gospel to you said, they're so lost, there's no hope, and never opened their mouth? May we have instead the position to say, you know what, in the midst of all this stuff that's happening, I want to have a posture first that says, bring the gospel of peace in the midst of it. And if they reject it, then it comes back to me. But if they accept it, Glory be to God. You've gained a brother or sister in Christ and a relationship and an opportunity to speak life into this person. And if they do that, stick with them. Stick with them. Walk with them. Be with them. Live life with them. Make sure that we bring the gospel to light so they're able to see and experience what the hope of Jesus is by living with them. That's literally what Jesus says. If there's a person of peace there and it clicks, the gospel clicks there, you don't just go off to the next thing. You bring the hope of the gospel with them. Churches, I think this is critical right now. We are going to be tempted to bounce around all over the place right now. If we're honest, this last year has been that. And God's saying, ground yourself in the peace of God. And then take that peace. And if it's rejected, move on. But if it's not, stay there. Stay there. Love that person. Show them the hope of Jesus. Our posture should first be that of offering peace. And I'm going to say this two more times because I'll tell you what, I need to hear this myself right now. Our posture should be that of first offering peace. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. What would it be like if the church began to operate in such a way that said, we're bringing the peace of Christ in the midst of this world right now. The hope of God. And it's not our rally call is what? For the glory of God, not ourselves. So our posture should be that first of offering peace. And I want you to notice what he says. The kingdom of God has come near to you. And he says, heal the sick. Heal the sick. Now we immediately go to what Jesus did oftentimes with people. He would heal their infirmity, right? He would make them whole again. But most of the time, he'd also say, go and sin no more. Your faith has saved you. He would tell them there was something deeper going on in their life. You remember the fellows that were taking the man on the mat that could not walk, and they took him to the roof, and they lowered him down? You remember what Jesus said to those people in the midst of that room? Their faith has saved you. May we not lose heart. But right now, may we bundle up those who are hurting and that are broken, that are struggling in life right now. We bundle them up and bring them to Christ, trusting he's going to do what he desires to do in the midst of their life. And see, the secondary thing with that whole thing is that he got to walk. That was the secondary thing. The primary thing is that his soul was restored back to Christ. So church, as we go out and we help others, may we have a vision that's bigger than just giving money to Harmony House. Mary, we've talked about this. Maybe something beyond saying, you know what, we want to stock the shelves so that this person can now get back into their apartment and they just be like, okay, we're moving on. Maybe God's saying to us, as people need to make that transition from this homelessness to house and home, may we provide their need, but maybe walk with them as well if they're open, if they're a person of peace and says, yes, I want to learn about what's going on in your life. There's something different here. Then we walk with them. We just don't go, hey, here's $100 or here's a toaster. Say, for the glory of God, and if you need other things, we'd love to walk with you through it. Love to take you out to lunch sometime. Church, may we be that body that sees people's lives and hearts and walks that they're going through, and we just don't throw money at it in the end, but we ultimately throw the gospel. And the gospel, by the way, is how we live, how we walk, how we relate, how we communicate. That's the gospel, the good news, because it should change us. So the world says there's something different. There's something different there. I want what they have. So we go heal the sick. And the sick are those who are fallen from God. It's not just an infirmity that's physical. I'd say ultimately it's an infirmity of the soul. The downcast, the brokenhearted, the brokenness in people's relationships and struggles in life, those are the sick that Jesus brings the hope to. May we engage at that level as well. So he says, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Would that not be just a wonderful phrase to use? That'd freak some people out, right? The kingdom of God's come near to you. But it's true. Like when you do something that brings the glory of God in the midst of that situation, there is the kingdom of God like all over it. And they see it and smell it and taste it. Like there is something different about this that I've not experienced before. So may the kingdom of God just jump into people's mess. And may we be the ones that bring that message. But he goes on and says, but whenever you enter a town, and I want you to know it's not a house, but a town. Whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has still come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of Sodom than for that town. I want you to catch that phraseology. In the beginning of this, he said, when you go to a house and they accept you and the town accepts you, stay there, bring the gospel, bring the kingdom of God in the midst of that place. But if you go to a town and you like burn all this energy and all this time, they're like, get out of here. We want nothing to do with you. Stop wasting time and move on to where it is that Jesus is telling you to go. So you have an out. But I want you to notice where it falls in the midst of this narrative, all the way at the bottom. How many of us want to start the other way? With a cynic going, they're not going to ever listen. I'm not going to try. And Jesus is going, listen, if you've done all these other things, if you've walked with me and you've done this stuff, if you brought the presence of the Lord into the midst of this place, you've brought the gospel into the midst of this place, if you've done all this stuff and they finally reject you, then you need to move on. Take the message of hope to someone else. If God's peace is rejected by an entire town, then move on to another town that may be receptive to the gospel. Now, I have a newsflash for you. From my experience thus far, Ontario has not rejected the gospel full-heartedly. From what I've noticed and seen in this world, your town has not rejected the gospel of Jesus full-heartedly. Therefore, we don't go there. We don't go there. Like, for the most part, within our nation, within our communities, they are somewhat open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we don't go there because that's not where we land. We don't become a cynic and say, nothing good can come of this. But instead we say, Lord, help me to see those who are broken and need your gospel and they need your hope. And help me to bring the healing of hope in the midst of their life. Church, we must grab hold of this right now. We must. The nation is going to go where the nation is going to go. It's just gonna. But where's your household gonna go? Where's your neighbor gonna go? Where's your coworker gonna go? Where's your extended family gonna go? You see what I'm getting at? Listen, church, I don't think any of us in this room have been called to become president of the United States of America. Maybe so. Here's what I do know. Some of you men have been called to be the husband and father that God has called you to be to your spouse and your kids. Some of your wives have called you to be the proper thing to the family as well. You see what I'm getting at? You've got that relationship that God has given you is far more important, newsflash, than even the president of the United States. It just is. You know, if the president would come up to me and call me a name, I wouldn't give a rip. Wouldn't care. But if one of my brothers in Christ came up to me and said, listen, this is what I'm noticing about you, and that hurts or cuts to the heart. Why? Because there's relationships closer. And may we embrace that right now, of the reality that's what's going on right now is that, listen, the people that you can change are the ones that are nearest to you in the town that you live in, the coworkers you work alongside of, the mission that's right outside your doorstep. That's where we keep our focus. Because there's still people hungry. There are still people hurting. There's still marriages falling apart. There's still relationships falling apart. There's still people that don't have a job. Listen, church, I know all the craziness that's going on, but may we keep our eyes on Jesus and the things that are closest to us right now and make the impact that God has called us to make right there and right now. Don't lose heart. Don't do it. God is more than enough. Turn to him. Let his love penetrate our hard hearts and our broken minds and hard minds. And may we see the fact that we're still on mission. That doesn't change. Not till you're laying in the ground 6 feet down. You still have a mission. So may we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May we not lose heart. May we keep in the mind of the fact that Jesus has called you to be on mission, to love those that are nearest to you. And may we have the focus that we need during this time, especially as we enter Thanksgiving, to keep our eyes there. We're going to sing a song. We're going to have scripture reading. But I would challenge you, as we're singing this song, listen to the words. You know it. You know the song really, really well. And ask yourself, is it well? Is it well with my soul? Father God, I pray that as we allow you to penetrate our hearts and minds with the things that are going on in this world, that we've lost sight of the fact that you're still a loving God. You're a good God. God, many of us have placed our hope in somebody or something outside of you, and I pray, Lord, that we would repent of that. and that we would keep in mind of the fact that you've still called us to love others well. You've still called us to make an impact in the lives of people around us. You've still called us to bring the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God in the midst of this world. So Lord, may we not lose heart, but may we also make sure our hearts given to the right person, that being you. May you be our treasure, Lord. May you be our treasure. And may we be the people you've called us to be to bring the hope of the gospel in the midst of those around us. Lord, I pray for the person right now in this room that's struggling, that they'd find their hope in you. God, I pray right now for the person in this room that knows that they're supposed to love a certain person or be in a certain mission. I pray, God, that your spirit would move us towards that. But God, most of all, help us know that our souls are well because of what you have done. And that you're a good God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.